Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello. Some of you might say, hey, don't even speak to me this morning. I'm so sad. But we will at least give you that, because if you're listening under the sound of my voice, then we have something that only you can answer within your own soul. Our topic this morning on Global Vision for Living Today is, what does God want me to do with my life? Part 4. Mama probably had some ideas on what she wanted you to do with your life. Daddy probably told you, you got to get out of here at 18 and you got to make it big in the world, man. But he didn't say how. Your girlfriend, wife, whatever, by your side, probably has ideas for what they want you to do with your life. But you know what? They're not that important. They are not that transparent about how to live, where to live, and what to do while you are alive. There's only one person. There's only one spirit person. There's only one God person, being person, that has charge over your life. Whether you believe it or not, anyone that can snuff you out within seconds. You know what? I'd be interested in what that God wants me to do. I'd be interested in the one that can have me run to the hospital and they say, you got 3 minutes to go. And oops, I'd be interested in what that God has to say. I turn the TV on, the radio on. I go outside, stand on the corner, sit on the bus stop. But lo and behold, when it comes to finding out how we can get out of a miserable state with our lives, something you can't fix on your own, all peace in your life is gone, then we need to find out what God wants us to do with our life. And you, what does God want me to do with my life has just about become a clarion call on earth, in America, around America, outside of America, because when we look outside the door, we know someone or something that has been leading us like a carrot on a stick. Hey, it's been all wrong. Yeah, yeah. And when we ask that question, what does God want me to do with my life? Don't you know, hallelujah, praise God, King God, if you are miserable with your life, who else can we think of that is just as miserable as you are because he sent his son? And he did that with an effect for change. Oh, my God, what is wrong? I'm miserable day and night. Why can't I find peace in my life? What is missing? What is missing is an acknowledgement of the one who said in Genesis, let us go down and create man. He gave us a name. Where does that name come from? Create man in our image. Wasn't trying to be a selfish creator, God. Wasn't thinking about what they might do a thousand years later. He was interested in bringing joy and happiness also to earth because you live, you would live, you came to be. He's miserable too. The Bible calls God a happy God, but he's sad. He's been sad, and he's still sad unto more. We're going to welcome our co-host here with us this morning, Colonel William Harrison. Hi, Colonel Harrison. Are you up bright and early with us this morning?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Constantina, listening to audience. I'm up. I'm inspired. I'm encouraged. I'm bright-eyed. And I don't know about being bushy-tailed.
Well, I'm going to say whatever, but we know something is wrong here in the land, and God is not happy. I don't care what anyone can say. The Bible refers to him centuries ago as the happy God. But you and I know 2022, He wants those that love him again, the Psalm 83:18, God, you can't get around that. You can't talk about the sub-God, not talk about him. He's saying, oh, my God, what is going on down there? He said it centuries ago, and his son, Christ Jesus, the one and only begotten son, said, yeah, you're right. Send me. Let me go down there and redeem them. You've already caused the flood to wipe them all out except 8 souls that the Bible says entered into the ark. Now, here they didn't start it again. So he said, there's something else going on here. Those 8 that went in there, Bible says, knew no sin as sin is known of today. He spared them so that, hey, they could have a start again. They could have a start. The women that went in, minus his Noah's wife, they were able to conceive, and now we are part of that seed. Well, what's going on? What's going on? God is not happy. Well, I'm not happy. Hey, it's not all about you. It's about what you do to make sure the Creator God is happy. Colonel Harrison, we have our, and I'm going to say she got up early again. We have our consulting firm admin with us this morning. Hi, Miss Gregory. Her name is Georgia Gregory. Welcome to the show. Thanks for getting up to hear what thus saith the Lord. Thank you for tuning in. Colonel Harrison, let's kick this thing in the teeth. Why wouldn't a person not know what God wants them to do with their life? We're going to jump into that, but why? Give us your thoughts. Why wouldn't we know what he wants us to do? What happened?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Good morning to Ms. Georgia Gregory and listening audience. The reason a person would not want God to have a plan for them or is because they don't know who God is. That's the only reason that comes to mind. Once we become familiar with people, we develop a relationship and we associate with one another. And so likewise with the Creator, God, the Psalm 83:18, God, we have to find out who he is, develop a relationship with him, and then he will reveal to us what he wants us to do with our lives, because he loves each of us and he wishes that none should perish. Because he created everything. Everything that we see other than that which man has created. God created the framework for the universe. And so he's the creator of everything, seen and unseen. So the only reason that comes to mind is that one doesn't know who God is. Because once one finds out who God is, we're compelled by spirit to want to know more about him, the Jehovah God.
Yes, and the Jehovah God is the only one that has says, I alone. And we know there's many religions, there's many people wearing clothes to signify what religious group they're from. But this is the only God that has said, and you can't tear that scripture out of there because it's part of what is known as this version or that version. It's written in there. Psalm 83:17 comes before Psalm 83:18. We can't get around that. Some are saying, oh, no, he wasn't the true God. That's just the name man made up. It's part of what is known as the sacred scrolls. This information we have in our Bible, it has been taken from scrolls from caves, and those scrolls are numbered and named. I mean, we cannot not say, oh, you know what, that scripture there ain't right. It's in there that thou might know that he, yes, Most High God over all the earth, whose name is, oh, my God, you got a name, I got a name, everyone listening has a name, but that name is the most powerful name over all the earth. So anyone, that same God that can say, okay, I am Genesis, and God created the heaven and the earth. You know what? That's some power there. I want to know what someone with that kind of power want me to do, because you know what? I first got to find out what he want me to do in my life before I find out what he does not, because that comes the clincher there. He said, by their works you'll know them. What are they doing? We can't get around that. It's written just like Psalm 83:18. By their works you're going to know them. Don't cry to me. Don't pray to me. Don't run to your next door neighbor. Well, you know, I need to know, you know, who that person is. Don't run to the psychic. The scripture says, by their works, what are they doing? He didn't say what they're talking about. Who cares? But by their works, you're going to know them. So with that being said, Colonel, let's jump into what God wants us to do with our life. Number one that I can think of is that once we acknowledge honor and respect, you don't have to go to the seminary for a thousand, trillion, whatever, zillion years. Open it up, and it will tell you exactly what he wants you to do. Number one, he don't have to tell me to worship him. Any God with this kind of power, I'm going to find a way. I'm going to find a way. When you worship someone, a God like this God, and people are saying on the Grammys and all these often, oh, I worship you, give me a kiss. Two things they kissing in the mouth. You know what? There's a judgment for that. But right now, if I want to get on God's right side, because I have messed up knowing I only have 70 or 80, am I insane? What do I do with that? God has said that, so he's watching us to see what are we going to do with the a few seconds we have left. Oh, my God. He don't have to do it calling people at 60, 75, 80. Where were they before then? Hey, you guys, you done already lived all just about what you can. So what does God want you to do? He wants us to, number one, worship him. I dare you to even try to treat someone else nice. They're going to be your friends for life. He wants us to worship him. Well, how do I worship someone? Colonel Harrison says, oh, yeah, you got to get to know God. You are not going to, I love you, Colonel Harrison, you are not going to get to know God. You are going to have to pray for God to enlighten your mind, for God to bring to you his word as he would have it brought to you. And Colonel Harrison has mentioned this, we have got to pray earnestly. Well, I don't know how to pray. I remember I talked to my mom, and she was in a bad fix. And I said, Mommy, you know what? I don't know what to do right now. You know what? I want you to pray. And she looked up at me, and it was amazing. She said, oh, I don't know how to pray. So number one, that told me she ain't been praying. She was about 67 or 8 then. So that told me she ain't been praying. If she said, I don't know how, well, she hasn't been praying. But we're saying right now, prayer is communication with God, not man. On your knees praying. On your knees, just like you prayed to pass your whatever thesis. Just like you prayed for your check to come in the mailbox. Just like you prayed for someone that owed you to pay you. This is what we're talking about. What does he want you to do? He wants you to pray to him for his guidance and his leadership in your life. Because if you messed up, and you are born of flesh, born of a woman, come out of a woman, you know what? You messed up. Let's just admit it. Death to death and life to life. So that is number one. God wants you to, oh, my God, adore him. What happens to people that adore God? What happens to them? What does a loving God? Bible says God is love. What does a loving God do for that person? Give an ugly report every second of their life? No. He said, you know what? He said, I come, Jesus, I come, that they might have life and have it in abundance. Oh, my God, everything that alludes to life, you're going to get. That is one aspect of God, wanting us to do great things with our life. What else does he want us to do with our life, Colonel Harrison? Let's keep this ball rolling. He wants you to honor him, respect him, adore him. What else, Colonel Harrison?
Yes, Dr. Capitano, listen, audience, he wants us to put him, he, God first in our lives. We have to put God first in our lives, recognize him as God, Jehovah, recognize him as the creator, and recognize that all things begin and end with God. That which he provides for us, whether it's food, whether it's shelter, whether it's clothing, whether it's job, whether it's income, God, the creator, is responsible for it directly. Our employers, those who still work, are responsible for it indirectly. So God wants us to put him first in our lives, first above our families, first above those who are married, wives, husband, above our children. God, the creator, put him first in our lives. It's very, very important for each and every one of us.
It sure is. And his son, Christ Jesus, helped make this possible. After the baptism of Jesus, when he rose up, it was a voice from heaven. I wasn't there. I didn't hear. But in the faith that I have in God and his divine edicts and promises, I can say, oh, yes, than the Spirit. He said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. So quite naturally, this God is well pleased in Jesus. I would imagine without having a PhD, you don't need a PhD to put this scenario here together. If God in heaven, through his voice, he said, I'm well pleased with him, then that means I got to get to know Jesus too as well. Oh, you know what? God wants me to get to know his son. Well, what did his son do? We got a history, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What did his son say? See, there's really no excuse for anybody over three, with or without. I was holding Holy Communion at age 7. That really exhibits that they really want to get to know God. I really know I need God. This book says he created me and mama. And we could go on and on and on. If we are not on mental health medication. Now, there were some in the days of Jesus that they said were crazy, but they recognized this one coming toward them as the one whom he has sent forth. Some say his voice wasn't heard yet. They just looked up something about him. Something about him. It's a song. It was something about him when he came forward. I know he was not skinning and grinning. It wasn't nothing funny knowing that you were sent down soon to be crucified in front of heathens that was not worthy to touch your hem. Your hem on your garment wasn't worthy. Our Bible writer, the epistle says, and the world was not worthy of him. Oh, my God. Oh, this God wants us also to reverence the one called Jesus the Christ. Whatever Jesus did and said, we ought to be in a hurry to imitate that. He called footstep followers. Come on and follow me. I don't have this for you. I'm not going to give you this. You're not going to see me over here. You're not going to hear me boasting about where I've been 2 nights ago. Come on. Let's get it plain. Let's get it real. What does God want you to do? He wants us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Well, Colonel Harrison, tell us, how do we follow in the footsteps of Jesus? We already know what God has said. We've repeated it here. And if you online need scriptures to back up anything we say, go for it. We're here for you. But just based on what was just said, Colonel Harrison, answer the question. Put us on the right track.
Yes, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus is God and God's only begotten Son. So the same as we get to know who God is, we have to get to know who his son is, which is equally important. And so once we get to know who Jesus is, he makes a difference in our lives. To honor God is to honor Jesus, and honor Jesus to honor God. And Jesus is found in the Bible. There's four particular books in the Bible, the Holy Bible, called the Gospel. And it tells us all about Jesus and who he is, yes, and where he came from, where he is now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get to know who God's son is, what he, and he's love. He's love. God is love. Same as God wants the best for us, Jesus wants the best for us. Jesus is the intercessor. He's the mediator between God and man. And so once we get to know who God's son is, Jesus, then he gives us instructions to follow that God wants us to do here on earth and how he wants us to live so that we can help bless each other, bless others. When I say bless, I mean favor each other, favor one another, and then have success in this life. So this life journey in terms of years is very, very short. Years of life doesn't last long. 60, 70, 80 years if you're lucky to live that long. So we need to get to know who God's son Jesus is. Get to know who Jesus is. And he's the son of God, and he loves us. And he has a plan for us in the Bible, in those four books called the Gospel. So I encourage you to. You can listen to them on audio. You can read them on your own. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So get to know who Jesus is, God's only son.
God's only son, only begotten son. That sure is right, because we remember Satan also was part of us, creative process. But, you know, I was talking to a family member recently, and, you know, I was just on this, and you know what, these people, you know, this world that don't know God, you know, I was just talking out because I didn't know if I'd ever get a chance to speak again. So they said, Grandma, why do old people wait till they get old to start talking about God and Jesus? Now, you know what? That was a profound question. So obviously they had heard something in their home that only old people do that. Well, because, and I said this, and some of you might can use this, elderly people have lived long enough to know that nothing they have done has worked. Nothing. Nothing that they put their hand on, whether they look upon and looking back or not. They have learned from life experience that all that they wanted to do, they did, and they found out it didn't work. All that they thought they had a chance to get, they ain't got. They have found out that what they thought was right, it really turned out to be wrong. They've also found out decisions they made for their life career, for the thoughts and dreams that they thought they were going to have fulfilled. They found out ground zero. So why would they not want to know? Well, you know, if all of that 60 years worth of living turned out to be nothing, what else is out there? Who else can I talk to? Who else can I run into? Who else can I hear about? And guess what? It all comes around. I got to say this. You know what? I'm sitting here. I'm looking out the door. I got about 8 people standing around the door. I don't know who they were. Maybe they're part of a group. You know, people come around and got things to placards and vote for this one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to the word of God. So in continuing that, maybe it's the Jeremiah bird. I don't know. Welcome. Hallelujah. They have found out it ain't come to nothing. All the money I tried to save is gone. Beggars got that. All the joy that I used to have when I was a small child, didn't know about anything but whatever made me happy, it has faded into non-existence. They have found out. You can't go nowhere and call everybody your friend. Everybody may not be the friend that you would think of as a friend, and you're left hanging on a limb. The elderly people have, and the woman of the house started clapping. They have found out it ain't worked. What they thought it ain't worked, it ain't. The Bible says the works of man comes to naught. So why not experience the joy of having one last chance? One last chance to hear about the one that made you, that created you, that put you, your ancestors, your first mama, your first daddy, until God it. Never saw rain. You know what? It's time. And once that is acknowledged and admonished before the heathen, whoever he might be, it's time to get busy. It's time to get busy. I got to tell this wayward daughter. I got to throw hints to this wayward grandson. I got to look beyond them and say, uh-oh, let me do some math. I'm this age. in this baby land here is this age. I'm not going to be on my feet by the time he gets to be 10, 15 and all that. If Jehovah God, that's on 83:18, God say so, maybe, but maybe not. The psalmist Moses had already summed it up in Psalm 90. This is all you got. So are we going to keep playing around? What does God want me to do with my life? Well, you know what? It's not going to be a head start. It's a get start right now. What does he want me to do with my life? He didn't said it. He didn't told me. He didn't have the prophets write about it. But, hey, I don't know where it is in that Bible. I have no idea. So, uh-oh. What does God want me to do with my life? Colonel Harrison touched on it. He wants us to surround ourselves. And they're out there. You can Google a men and women of God. He wants you to associate and assimilate with them. Because by the time you get your hands on them, the Bible calls men and women of God as pure gold. They're not going to steal you all. They're going to hang their head down when they see some of the things you might do and decisions you make. People you choose to hang with, they might, but they're going to keep on going. Because he says, many are called, but few are chosen. What else does God want us to do with our life, Colonel Harrison? Sum us up. We got 5 minutes left. What does he want us, other things he wants us to do with our life?
Yes, once we get to know who God is, Dr. Capitina, he wants us to worship him. When we worship him, we glorify him. And when we glorify him, we honor him. And then God does more things in our individual lives. God gives us insight into things, insight into investments, insight into jobs that we should seek, insight into people we should reach out to and fellowship with and tell them about God and God's son and how God has changed our lives and how he wants to improve their lives so people don't struggle. They don't become depressed. They don't get taken by depression and want to take themselves out. So once we worship God, glorify God, then God wants us to go and tell others about the goodness that he provided in our life, the joy that he has provided in our life, the happiness he's provided in our life, and how he has redirected our lives and put us on the path he wants us to be on while we are living on this journey called Earth and in this place and in this flesh that we are living in, because this flesh is temporary.
Sure is, and most people don't know it, because I was just reading something this morning where I think almost 20 million people, something like that, the big amount, watched the Oscars or whatever. You know what? All y'all that got a heart to listen, I'm going to bypass your ears. I'm talking to the heart right now. You know, God created man, as you just said, to worship him and to praise him. But since the majority of the world is not on that track, they are seeking somebody to worship. Oh, look at that gown. Oh, look at those shoes. Oh, look at that hair. Broke or not, they are trying to follow flesh to give them some honor and some worship. So what? That's 70 or 80 applies to them. Some of them wouldn't spit on you in the sidewalk. I don't know how long it was, 3 hours or whatever. So these people, they really need to find out what God wants them to do with their life. God bless you. We have run out of time. We're going to take it to part 5. What does God want me to do with my life? Have a great weekend if God ordains it to me. And we'll look to hear from you in spirit next Saturday, same time, 8 a.m. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We love you.